Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 12, Verse number 15. Tam uchur brahmanas tusta rajanam prasayanvitam esahi asmin prajatanto purunam poravarsabha. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. It's not purport. The learned brahmanas, who were very satisfied with the charities of the king, addressed him as the chief amongst the purus and informed him that his son was certainly in the line of descent from the purus. There's no purport, so I will not comment on this. So, text 16. Daivina pratigatena sukle samstam upe yusi ratovo nugrahartaya Vishnuna Prabha Vishnuna. Translation. The Brahmana said, this spotless man has been restored by the all-powerful and all-pervasive Lord Vishnu, the personality of Godhead. In order to oblige you, he was saved when he was doomed to be destroyed by an irresistible supernatural weapon. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The child Parikshit was saved by the all-powerful and all-pervasive Vishnu, Lord Krishna, for two reasons. The first reason is that the child in the womb of his mother was spotless, due to his being a pure devotee of the Lord. The second reason is that the child is only surviving male descendant of Puru, the pious forefather of the virtuous King Yudhisthira. The Lord wants to continue the line of pious kings to rule over the earth as his representatives for the actual progress of peaceful and prosperous life. After the battle of Kurukshetra, even up to the next generation of Maharaj Yudhisthira was annihilated, and there were none who could generate another son in the great royal family. Maharaj Parikshit, the son of Abhimanyu, was the only surviving heir apparent in the family. And by the irresistible supernatural Brahmana weapon of Aswatthama, he was forced to be annihilated. Lord Krishna is described herein as Vishnu, and this is also significant. Lord Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, does the work of protection and annihilation in his capacity of Vishnu. Lord Vishnu is the plenary expansion of Lord Krishna. The all-pervasive activities of the Lord are executed by him in his Vishnu feature. Child Parikshit is described here as spotlessly white because he is an unalloyed devotee of the Lord. Such unalloyed devotees of the Lord appear on the earth just to execute the mission of the Lord. The Lord desires the conditioned souls hovering in the material creation to be reclaimed, to go back home, back to Godhead. And thus, he helps them by preparing transcendental literatures like the Vedas, by sending missionaries of saints and sages, and by deputing his representative, the spiritual master. Such transcendental literatures, missionaries, and representatives of the Lord are spotlessly white because the contamination of material qualities cannot even touch them. They are always protected by the Lord when they are threatened with annihilation. Such foolish threats are made by the gross materialists, the Brahmastra, which was thrown by Aswatthama at the child Parikshit, was certainly supernaturally powerful, and nothing of the material world could resist its force of penetration. But the all-powerful Lord, who is present everywhere, within and without, could counteract it by his all-powerful potency just to save a bona fide devotee, servant of the Lord, descendant of another devotee, Maharaj Yudhisthira, who was always obliged by the Lord by his causeless mercy. The Brahmana said, the spotless son has been restored by the all-powerful and all-pervasive Lord Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, in order to oblige you. He was saved when he was doomed to be destroyed by an irresistible supernatural weapon. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So again, Srila Prabhupada reveals some interesting points here. He says, first of all, the Lord Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, does the work of protection and annihilation in his capacity of Vishnu. Lord Vishnu is the plenary expansion of Lord Krishna. The all-pervasive activities of the Lord are executed by his will in his Vishnu feature. So, when Krishna is running toward Bhisma Deva, he's spinning the wheel of his chariot. Bhisma sees Krishna in his form as Narayana, or Vishnu, with four arms, coming toward him with a chakra. So that is somewhat confusing, but not for devotees, but that would be somewhat confusing to other people who are simply scholars. So, and Bhisma, Pitamaha's worshipable deity, is Narayana or Vishnu. He prefers to see the Lord in that form. He knows that the two-armed form of Krishna is the original form of the Lord, but he is in the chivalrous rasa. There are 12 rasas with Krishna, and five of them are, very personal, and the other seven are not in the same way exactly as the last five, and especially the last four. So Bhisma Pitamaha has what you would call the chivalrous rasa. He is a kshatriya, and he enjoys fighting, especially for the right cause. In this case, he's on the wrong side, but it doesn't stop him from having a relationship with the Lord in the way he is attracted to him. So we'll read a little bit more about Bhisma Pitamaha here. First of all, Bhisma Pitamaha is a Mahajan. He's an expert. He knows who Krishna is. He tells Yudhisthira that Krishna is the first Narayana. That is, that he's the origin of Narayan, and then eventually the Vishnu forms come, which are non-different than the Narayana forms, except they're in the material world. And if we look at earlier, we read the prayers of Bhisma Dev. He says, by pure meditation, looking at Lord Sri Krishna, he at once was freed from all material inauspiciousness and was relieved of all bodily pains caused by the arrow wounds. Thus, all the external activities of his senses at once stopped, and he prayed transcendentally to the controller of all living beings while quitting his material body. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The material body is a gift of the material energy, technically called illusion. Identification with the material body is due to forgetfulness of our eternal relationship with the Lord. For a pure devotee of the Lord, like Bhismadeva, this illusion was at once removed as soon as the Lord arrived. Lord Krishna is like the sun, and the illusory external material energy is like darkness. In the presence of the sun, there is no possibility of darkness. There's no possibility that darkness can stand. Therefore, just on the arrival of Lord Krishna, all the material contamination was completely removed, and Bhismadeva was thus able to be transcendentally situated by stopping the activities of the impure senses in collaboration with matter. The soul is originally pure, and so also the senses. By material contamination, the senses assume the role of imperfection and impurity. By revival of contact with Supreme Pure Lord Krishna, the senses again become freed from material contaminations. Bhismadeva attained all these transcendental conditions prior to his leaving the material body because of the Lord's presence. The Lord is the controller and benefactor of all living beings. That is the verdict of all Vedas. He is the supreme authority and living entity amongst all the eternal living beings. And he alone provides all the necessities for all kinds of living beings. Thus, he provided all facilities to fulfill the transcendental desires of his great devotee, Bhismadeva, who prayed as follows. Bhismadeva said, "Let me now invest my thinking, feeling, and willing, which were so long engaged in different subjects and occupational duties, in the all-powerful Lord Shri Krishna." He is always self-satisfied, but sometimes, being the leader of devotees, he enjoys transcendental pleasure by descending on the material world, although from him, only the material world is created. So we see Bhismadeva knows exactly who Krishna is, but he prefers to see Krishna in his Narayana form due to that special rasa, chivalrous rasa that he has with the Lord. Is this something bad? No. Because there's no difference between Narayana or Vishnu and Krishna. It depends on the devotee. And therefore, just like every one of us, will develop some kind of special relationship with Krishna. Some people prefer to see Krishna as Lord Rama, Chandra. Other people prefer to see him in his original form as Lord Shri Krishna holding the flute with the three bending form. And other people want to see him as Narayana in very strict and opulent form. So these choices that one makes are not wrong. But to get back to Goloka Vrindavan, one must meditate completely on Krishna's pastimes as a child in Vrindavan, or as the king of Dwarka, the son of Vasudeva in Mathura, and under king king of Mathura was Vasudeva's father, Ugrasena. Okay, so Bhismadeva is definitely an exceptional person. Although he's fighting against Krishna, he's actually Krishna's pure devotee. And his aim is not to hurt the Lord, but to give the Lord pleasure. So when his arrows strike the body of Krishna, Krishna feels them as pleasurable. Now, all these things are incomprehensible for materialistic people, but devotees are capable of understanding because they hear the explanations from the acharyas rather than speculate. It's very easy to speculate and get a wrong conclusion, but if one carefully hears the explanation of the acharyas, then they will not be misled. Okay, so we'll stop right there. Are there any questions? Yeah. How do they get the shelter? Well, by becoming, first of all, convinced that Krishna is the protector of his devotees. Number two, by always meditating on the fact that Krishna promises, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati, that he will protect his devotees. It's 9th chapter, 31st verse. And then hearing these transcendental pastimes, how Krishna saved Maharaj Parikshit. But actually that brahmastra was meant not only to kill Maharaj Parikshit, but to kill also the Pandavas. So Krishna protected all of them. And then you have also Krishna protecting the cowherd boys from the poisonous Kaliya serpent. You see, there's all these pastimes where Krishna is protecting his devotees and enlightening them. He protected Arjuna and he enlightened him with the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.